I'm holding Chof Aleph on the base, five lines from the bottom. Suppose an Ovo comes and joins the other Avelim in the middle of Shiva. So, Bami Makam Korov, if he's coming from a nearby place, and Tosfos defines that near, Rashi and Tosfos both define that nearby means within 10 parsa. Why 10 parsa? Because the Gemara tells us in a few other places that an average person can walk 10 parsa in one day. So therefore it means that he lives close, he was located close enough that he could have come there on the first day if he had wanted to. If he had started walking, or not so much wanted to, but in principle, he could have been able to come on the first day by walking there and be there by the end of the day. Now, of course, you know, yeah, that could differ depending on what time of the day the Kvura was, but the Chachamim don't want to start making distinctions like that from the Sata Dvarech HaLashurin, so they made a standard thing of 10 parsa. Meaning one day's walk. Nowadays, actually, contemporary poskim talk about the question, what about nowadays where you can get from point A to point B much faster? You could get on a plane and fly from one day to another. So would these dinim that we're going to talk about over here, would that apply out to that or maybe not? Rav Moshe says maybe not necessarily because we're talking about 10 parsas, you don't really have an expense to get there. You just have to start walking, whereas plane tickets can be expensive. Anyway, so if he comes from a Mokum Karev, however we define that Mokum Karev, Moina Imohen, then even though he came in the middle of Shiva, he can count with them. So in other words, he came a few days into the... So we're saying if he came sometime during the first 3 days, then, so even though he missed the first couple of days of Shiva, then he can start counting where they're holding, in other words, and he gets up at the same time that they do. Bami Makam Rochuk, on the other hand, if he comes from a further away place, Moina La'atzma, then even during those first 3 days, he would have to start his own count of Shiva. So in other words, say, for example, that the Gvura took place on a Sunday, he was in a Makam Karev, so he could have come that day Sunday, but in the event he didn't come Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, he only comes on Wednesday. So then we're saying, he would have to start Shiva at that point on his own on Wednesday and go till the following Tuesday, even though everybody else is getting up, even though everybody else is, well, okay, in this case, they're getting up before Shabbos, but whatever. The point is, in other words, that he's still sitting a few more days because even though he was in a Makam Karev, even though he was within 10 parsa, because he wasn't in a Makam Karev, because he was outside of 10 parsa from the Shiva house, therefore now, even though he may, even, so, certain, sorry, even though he's, in, even though he's from Makam Karev, because he only came, says the Tanakhama, after 3 days, then therefore he has to start his own count and he can't join together with them. But we're saying if he was in a Makam Karev and he came within the first 3 days, then he doesn't have to count, full 7 days of his own, then he just joins together with them and gets up when they get up. So that's if he was in Makam Karev. Versus Makam Rochuk, Mikan Ve'elach Afilu Bomim Makam Karev Moina La'atzma. And then after 3 days, even if he's from a Makam Karev, he has to count his own counting. So again, according to the Tanakhama, there are two possibilities when he has to do his own count of 7 days of Shiva, which means that he's going to be getting up later than them. Either if he was in a Makam Rochuk, which we said is more than 10 parsa away, so he couldn't have come there on the first day. Or if he comes, or whether he was in a Makam Karev or Rochuk, if he comes after the third day. That's the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon says, no, Afilu Bava Makam Ashvi, Makam Karev, Moina Imohen. No, as long as he was in a Makam Karev, as long as he was within 10 parsa, even if he only comes on the seventh day, then he can count with them, meaning he's just going to have to sit for a very short amount of time because they're getting up on the seventh. In fact, Tosfos points out, I mean, The Ovo gets up on the seventh. So what's the scenario that he comes on the seventh and finds them still sitting Shiva, where he would then be able to join with them for that short amount of time and then get up together with them? Okay, Tosfos says two possibilities. One is where the Menachemim have not gotten up yet. We talked about the other day. We do say Mikhtasayim Kekolo, but what we do is only after we wait until the morning of the 7th, after in the morning they daven Shachris there, and then after that, then the Ovel gets up. So suppose he came early in the morning on the 7th before the Menachemim have left. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says, is let's say he came the night going into the 7th. We definitely don't say Mikhtasayim Kekolo about the night. So in other words, Rav Shimon is saying that as long as he came sometime while the Avelim was still sitting Shiva, and he was in a Mokum Karev, then he counts his count of Shiva together with them, and that means if he only came early in the morning of the 7th, before the Menachemim have left, then it means he's only going to be sitting Shiva for a very short time. Okay, so let's analyze that braisa. So, Omamar, Gimul Yamim Harishonim, Bami Mokum Karev, Moni Imahim. We said that if he comes during the first 3 days, and he's from a Makom Karov, then he counts together with them, meaning that he's going to end up getting up when they get up, and he's not going to have to continue sitting Shiva longer than them. Omer, Chiba Abba, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Vuhu Shiesh Godol HaBayis VaBayis. However, Chiba Abba tells us in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that would only apply if the Godol HaBayis is in the house. Godol HaBayis literally means the greatest one of the house. What it means, so in other words, what it would mean is, let's say, for example, among the brothers, if the eldest brother was there, and then one of the younger brothers shows up later during the Shiva, then we're saying that he follows the Gadol HaBayis, his older brother, and therefore he doesn't have to sit full 7 days. He just starts where they're holding and finishes when they finish. As opposed to, in other words, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba is telling us, if it was the other way around, if let's say it was the younger brothers were sitting over there, and then the older brother comes from a Makom Karev, so even though he was in a Makom Karev, and even though he came within 3 days of the beginning of the Shiva, nevertheless, he's more important than them, and therefore he's not Negro, he doesn't follow them, he would have to be sitting Shiva on his own schedule, meaning from when he came, until sit for 7 days, meaning that he'd still be sitting after all of them get up. Mephoshim point out, in the Iri, for example, that God, so it doesn't necessarily literally mean Godol HaBayis as in older or younger brother. Godol HaBayis, for this purpose, basically means the one who runs the household affairs. So anybody else who joins the Shiva is then, any of the other brothers or relatives who join the Shiva are then, they then follow him. So now, Yibayu Lahu, so now we have a question in that connection. Holach Godol HaBayis for Beis HaKvaros Mahu. What would happen if that Godol HaBayis went to the cemetery? Now, in other words, Rashi explains, let's say the cemetery is out of town, and the Godol HaBayis went there for the Levaya, and it takes time for him to... So Rashi explains that Rashi and Tosfos explain that we're talking about, in other words, so it takes some time, the cemetery is far away. By the time he gets back, it's more than 3 days since the beginning of the Avelos. Mahu, then what do we say? Do we say that so we just said that the Godol HaBayis doesn't follow everybody else, and he's just the opposite. They're the ones who follow him. But maybe that's only when, in other words, so he didn't find out about the Missa right away. He came only a few days later and found. So then we would say that he has to do his own count of Shiva because he's more important than them, and therefore we can't say that their few days that they already sat Shiva should count for him as well. But maybe when he went out of town for the Levaya and for the burial, maybe that's different. Maybe we would consider that as if he's at home, and therefore he's entitled to consider those days as part of the Shiva. So that's Mahu, what the din. There are several other explanations among the Rishonim, what the question is and what the answer is going to be. A different explanation, Tosfos has a bit of a long explanation about over here. But another explanation is the other way around. If the Godol HaBayis went to the Levaya out of town, and now in the middle of Shiva, somebody else, one of the other relatives, comes, what do we say? So again, we said before that the other relatives follow the Godol HaBayis. Would they, in this case, because the Godol HaBayis went for the Levaya and therefore it's considered as though he's home, or would they not, because the fact is he's not there? There's a few different ways of understanding the question exactly. So Toshma, we can prove the Amar Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Afilu Holach Godol Beis HaKvaros, Moina Imahen. Even if the Godol HaBayis went to the cemetery, moina imohin, that he counts together with them, meaning, in other words, they're avelus. So Rashi explains, to be exact, actually, we're going to learn now in a minute in the Gemara that there are two possible times when Shiva begins. There can be, now, of course, if you're there for the Levaya, then it begins after the burial, with what the Gemara is going to call soon, Mishisosim Agolo. On the other hand, good morning, Yaakov. So that's one. On the other hand, if you're not there for the Levaya, then the Shiva begins when you when you've gone, if you've been there for the Levaya, let's say they're taking the body out of town to be buried or whatever. So then, when you stop going with it, when you turn around and head back home, is when Shiva begins. So now you could have the scenario, in other words, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that. So let's say, for example, the person passed away on Sunday. Let's say now the Gadol Abayis is going with him so they had the Levaya on Sunday, but now the actual burial, let's say, is not going to take place until a few days later, because it takes time to get him to this other place. So and the Gadol Abayis went along with him. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Moina Imahen, in other words, when does their Avelus, when does their Shiva begin? When they turned around and went home. They're not planning to accompany the mess all the way to the cemetery, because it's out of town. So therefore, their Avelus begins right there, let's say, on Sunday. Meanwhile, the burial is not going to actually be taking place until Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever it is. We would still say, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that his Shiva begins when theirs begins, and therefore he's going to be able to get up with them before Shabbos. We're not going to say that for him, the Shiva only begins after the burial, whatever day of the week it's going to be, and therefore he's going to have to be sitting longer. So that would answer the question. Gadol Abayis goes to the Beis HaKvaris, but we see, even though he's not there in the house, nevertheless, he's still considered as if he was in the house, and therefore he begins his Shiva at the same point as they do. Again, according to the various other Rishonim who have other explanations of what's going on over here, then we're talking about, in other words, for example, that even though he's not there, anybody else who comes to the house still goes according to his count, rather than according to his own count when he shows up. And so it wouldn't matter Makom Karev, Makom Rachok, and all that we were saying before. So part of the question actually is, an interesting point that comes in connection with this is Rabbi Yochanan's statement, so the Gemara says, Moina Imahen, what do you mean he counts with them? Well, Hatanya, Moina La'atzma, you know, the Braisa says that in that case, the Gadol Abayis is going to have to count on his own from when the burial took place. And the answer is, like Kasha, Hoda Osa, Begoy Plosa, Behodoy Osa, Begoy Plosa. It depends whether he got back home within the first 3 days or after the first three days. Now, here's an interesting point, which is that we said just before in the Braisa at the bottom of Chafalaf on the days that we had the Tanakhama had made a distinction between 3 days and between before 3 days and after 3 days. Reb Shimon had said that there's no distinction like that. It's as long as the new person comes, as long as the relative comes within the 7 days before they got up from Shiva, then he's allowed to count with them. So now Reb Yochanan is mentioning the matter of 3 days. Does that mean that Reb Yochanan is disagreeing with Reb Shimon? And the halacha would be like Reb Shimon, because halacha could give Reb Nekel be'able, because if he said a few times the rule when it comes to dinim of avelos, then the halacha is like a Tana who's more Mekel, so therefore the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So does that mean that Reb Yochanan is disagreeing with him? If so, the halacha wouldn't be like that. It's interesting then that the Rambam and the Rif don't bring this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan's at all, because evidently they hold that Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, the Balamor points it out. This statement of Rabbi Yochanan and different other Rishonim after that point that out, and it is brought. So the Mechaber doesn't bring it, but the Ramah brings it. Because they hold, among other things, that fine, Rabbi Yochanan is not necessarily disagreeing with Reb Shimon. Even according to Reb Shimon, who says that as long as the new people show up within 7 days, then they can follow the people who are already sitting there. Still, there might be a distinction between whether the Gadol Abayis went to the Beis HaKvaris for purposes of the burial or not, and if other people come, do they follow him, or do they follow the people who are sitting over there? So that the difference between 3 days and after 3 days may be valid, even according to Reb Shimon, in certain cases. So that's what we're saying. There are cases where moina imoin, where he counts together with them and gets up when they get up, versus there are times when they were, there are times when they would have to do their own independent count, meaning based on the gadol habayis, based on the burial, which may have taken, which we're saying took place a few days later, rather than according to the people who are sitting in the house. So it's a little bit complicated, and as I said, there are several different opinions of Rishonim on the subject, how exactly to explain all Gemara. But in any case, we see, so according to the Yechanan's last statement, and according to the Braises that we quoted, there is a distinction. Sometimes we're going to say you go according to the people who are in the house, who begin Shiva right away, and sometimes you're going to be followed, sometimes we said that you're going to have to start from the burial, which is going to be several days later. So the Gemara says, "Kihada amalahu Rab livnei hatzalponi." As we find that Rab said to the people of Tzalponi, Rashi explains that Tzalponi is the name of a place. Different other Rishonim talk about different possibilities. Tzalponi may be the name of their father or the name of their family, whatever. Rab told them, so he tells them as follows: anybody who comes to join the Shiva during the first 3 days, they count together with you. Meaning, in other words, again, so let's say, for example, they didn't know about the death. So now they come a few days later and find out about it. So Rav tells them, as long as these people come within the first 3 days, then they can continue counting with you. Meaning, in other words, so they miss the first couple of days of Shiva, but that doesn't matter. They're just going to continue from there and get up when you get up. Deloy also, but goes also, if they didn't come within 3 days, live in the shire, and they have to do their own count. So like we said before, so again, that on the surface, that would only be according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, who mentioned 3 days, but according to the Baal HaMor, there are actually cases where that can apply even according to the Shimon, namely in cases where the Gadol HaBayis went to do the burial, and other people come during that time. More in that connection. Amalahu Rava of Nei Mechuza. Rava told the people of Mechuza, which was the city where he was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva, Atum Dalayaz Lisu, Bosar Arsa, you here in you people of Mechuza, where you don't follow the mitzvah, you don't follow the mess to go, because the mesim over there were buried out of town. So what you do is whenever somebody passed away here in Mechuza, you have a levaya here in town, but then you leave it to what's called the katofim, the people who are going to transport him to wherever it is and bury him, the equivalent of the chevra kaddisha nowadays. So therefore, so for you, mikima hadritu apaychum bava da'avula. So what happens is you went by the levaya, you go and walk together with the nest until the gate of the city. So once you turn around your faces, mibava da'avula, from the gate of the city, then aschilu menu, at that point you start counting Shiva. And that's the halacha. So if the burial is going to be a day or two, or however long after the Misa, and that happens, for example, nowadays, you sometimes have, a body is sometimes flown to Eretz Yisrael for burial and so forth. So then anybody who's going to be there by the Levaya and anybody who's going to be there by the Kavurta waits until after the Kavurta to start Shiva. Anybody who doesn't attend the Kavurta starts Shiva right after, as we said, right after they turn their faces away, after they hand over the mess to the Chevra Kaddisha, and or once they put them on the plane or whatever, or once the plane takes off, and then at that point they start Shiva. Which also means, for example, let's say we're talking shortly before Yom Tov, then this is going to be a big nafka minna. Imagine, for example, that for whatever we imagine the person passed away shortly before Yom Tov, and they're going to fly the body to Eretz Yisrael, let's say, and by the time they bury him there, it's going to be during or after Yom Tov. Well, then the people who are staying at home, the people who are not going along on the flight, are going to have a day or two of Shiva, and it's going to be canceled by Yom Tov, as we learned earlier in the Perek. Whereas those who are there for those relatives who are there for the Kavurta are going to only be starting Shiva after Yom Tov. So there you can have a big nap. I mean, in most cases, you'll just have a couple of days difference. Okay. Then we said in the Braisa, Rav Shimon Omer Afilu Bami Makam the Yom Hashvi'i Makam Korov Moinu Imahin. We said that Rav Shimon had said that if this other relative who shows up, even if he comes, so the Tanakhama had said only if he comes within the first 3 days, then does he get to count together with them and not have to sit Shiva longer than them. And he said, the Tanakhama had said only if he's from a Makom Karev, only if he's from a close by place, as we said, within 10 parsa. Rav Shimon is saying that even if he came on the seventh day, from a close place, Moina Imahan, then he can count together with them. So meaning, in other words, that he gets up at the same time that they get up. So Omer Abchir Bat Gamda, Omer Ab Yosef Ben Shol, Omer Rebbe, Uhu Shabo Umotzim Nachman Etzloi. That would only apply if this person who came on the seventh day found Menachemim still there, like we talked about before. Tosfos, in fact, interestingly, had used the expression at the bottom of Chafalof on the day. They said, Kigoin Shaloi Omdu Adain Menachemim Etzlam. For example, that the Menachemim hadn't gotten up yet. Here we see in the Gemara, it's not just for example, that is the case that Reb Shimon is talking about. In any case, so that's what it means. In other words, when do we say that if he comes on the seventh day, then he can just finish up the Shiva with them, and he gets up when they get up, only if there are still Menachemim there. So to put it in contemporary terms, each day in a Shiva house, they gather the Odah Avelim Davin by the Omud. So Shachris, the seventh day, so they have Shachris there on the seventh day, and then after Shachris, the Oval gets up. And then Shiva is over. So as long as this other person came there before the end of Shacharis, then he doesn't have to start his own count of Shiva. He joins the Avelim who are already there for the next few minutes or hour of it or whatever. So Boyud of Onan, sort of Onan, asked the question: Nina Ru Lamed Vayomdu Mahu. What would happen if the people, the Menachemim, are starting to get up, but they haven't actually get up yet? Ninaru literally means they're shaking themselves, because people used to sit on the ground in those days, and therefore, when you're getting up, you shake off the dirt from your clothes. So let's say, in other words, they're starting to get up, but they haven't actually gotten up and left yet. And then this other relative comes. Mahu, what would be the din? Can he join in that now remaining 1 minute or whatever of Shiva, or not? And the Gemara says, Teku. The question is left unanswered. In general, again, halacha kedivra amekel be'evil. So we say that works also. Okay. Now, who is the halacha like between the chachamim and Reb Shimon? So the Gemara gets to the answer of that by way of a side discussion. The Gemara says, Gmiri chavre de Reb Abba bar Chiya made Reb Abba. The friends of one of the colleagues of Rab Abba Bar Chiya learned the following statement from Rab Abba, and the Gemara interjects Umanu Rab Zera, who is this colleague of Rab Abba Bar Chiya, would be Rab Zera. So in other words, Rab Zera learned the following statement from Rab Abba, the Amila, or others say it the other way around, Chavre de Rab Zera me Rab Zera, that a colleague of Rab Zera learned the following din from Rab Zera, Umanu Rab Abba Bre de Rab Chiya Ba Abba, and according to that, The colleague of Rab Zera is Rab Abba, the son of Rab Chiya Bar Abba. Anyway, either way, Amar Rab Yechanan, the following statement in the name of Rab Yechanan, Halacha k'Rab Shimon Gamliel b'Treifus, v'Halacha k'Rab Shimon b'Evil. When it comes to a certain din in Treifus, which we're going to talk about in a second, the Halacha is like Rab Shimon Gamliel, and when it comes to Rab Shimon's opinion that we just said, the Halacha, as far as Avelus, then the Halacha is like him. What do the two genim have to do with each other? At least on the surface, nothing. It's just it was a way of combining together and helping to remember certain halachas that you put them together. And this way you associate mentally one with the other, and that way you remember one, and that way you remember the other. So Reb Shimon be'evil hadam moran. What do we mean? Reb Shimon's opinion means what we just said, that Reb Shimon is saying that as long as the other relatives came before the end of Shiva, while the Avelim was still sitting, then he can count the remainder of Shiva with them. Where do we see, what do we mean when we say the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel ben Treifus? So the Tan, we learn in a Mishnah in Cholin, Bnei Me'ayim Shen, the Tanya really, it's a Braisa, Bnei Me'ayim Shen Nikru, if the intestines of an animal have a hole in them, and in general, most internal organs of an animal, if they have a hole, then the animal is going to be Treifa. But in this case, so you have a hole in the intestines, but V'lecha Seitamton, But the lecha, which is the mucus layer that you have on the inside of the intestines, closes up the hole. Ksheira divid of Shimon Gamliel. So Shimon Gamliel says that such an animal would be kosher, because that lecha is considered to be a valid closure for the hole. So my lecha, what exactly is this lecha? Amarakana shirka d'me'aya means the mucusy layer on the surface of the intestines, the nafik agab duchka, which comes out when you press on it. So when you're cleaning out the intestines, which they did, for example, the Mishnah tells us in Pesachim that they did that in preparation. They did that, for example, with the Korban Pesach, because the intestines are parts of the animal that can be eaten, and you have to clean them out so they don't spoil by the time you take it home to roast it. They can clean them out by regular animals in order to make kishka or whatever. Anyway, the point is, so you have, when you're looking at the intestines, you have this mucus layer on them, which then you press on it, and it comes off. So therefore, that's the lecha that Rav Shimon Gamliel was talking about, that's considered to be a valid closure for a hole in the intestine, and therefore the animal is kosher. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Omer Mandahu. Once somebody said, meaning in other words, there was once somebody in the Beis Medrash, and then when Rav Inyan Rav Ashi composed the Gemara, they didn't remember who it was. So just Mandahu, somebody said, Ezki, I hope that I have the schus, the asik, that I will go up to Eretz Yisrael, the agmar, the shmaita, mekume demare, that I will have the chance to learn the statement of halacha from the one who actually said it. So in other words, this was one of the Chachamim in Babel. He heard, he received the report, the Chachamim in Babel. We know that there were Chachamim who traveled back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Babel all the time, and they would bring from one place to another from each one to the other what the Chachamim in the other place are saying and what they're discussing. So in this case, this Chacham, whose name we don't know, had heard in one of the yeshivas in Babel about this, that Rav Zeira or Rav Abba had quoted the statement in the name of Rabbi Yechanan about the halacha being like Rav Shimon and the halacha being like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So this Talmid Chacham is saying, I hope that I have the schus, Rav Zeira and Rav Abba live in Eretz Yisrael, I hope that I have the schus to go to Eretz Yisrael and actually learn this halacha personally from them rather than just from a long distance report. So sure enough, he saw it, so he eventually moved to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechel Rav Abba braided Rav Chiya Abba. So he met up with Rav Abba, the son of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, which was one of the versions that we said that was one of the versions of who said it. The other version was that Rav Zeira said it. So according to that, it would mean he met with Rav Zeira. Omer Leh, and he asked him, Omer Mar Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Treifus. Did you say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as far as Treifus, that in that case where there's a hole in the intestine and covered with the lecha, that it would be kosher? Amalei, so the Chacham tells us, so Rav Abba tells him just the opposite. Ano ein halacha amri. I said the halacha is not like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So somehow, maybe that was why this Talmid Chacham in Babel was hoping to go to Eretz Yisrael and learn it in person, because maybe, in other words, he found it very strange that the halacha should be paskin like that, and therefore he figured, I hope that I'll have the chance to go to Eretz Yisrael and find out the svara of why he would have said that it's kosher. But now, in the end, he's finding out there was no such svara. Rav Abba or Rav Zeira had actually said it's not kosher. The halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel in that. And in fact, it's not. The lecha covering it is not considered a valid enough closure for the hole because it's not strong enough. Whatever is in the intestines still can leak out through the hole over there and then the animals chirik because of that. So he asks him, but Ovel Mai, okay, now what about, now you said two, the report that I got said that you said two things in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. One was the halacha was like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the other was that the halacha was like Rabbi Shimon. So you just told me as far as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that I received a wrong report, and in fact the halacha is not like him. What about by Rabbi Shimon? What'd you say about that? Omale, so Rav Zeira or Rav Abba tells him, Plugin Nidu. It's a machlokes. The Itmar, in fact, there's a discussion about that. Rav Chista Omer Halacha. Rav Chista says the Halacha is like Rav Shimon. V'chein Omer Rav Yechanan Halacha. Rav Yechanan says the same thing, but Rav Nachman Omer Ein Halacha. Rav Nachman says the Halacha is not like Rav Shimon. V'ein Halacha, Rav Shimon Gamliel, but Treifus. So 1 second. And it's an interesting thing. You think about it. This Talmud Chacham had to come from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and the information that Rav Abba is providing him is that Rav Chista and Rav Nachman are both from Babel. So in the end, he's finding out that what Rav Chista and Rav Nachman had said back in Babel, that he's now finding out secondhand in Eretz Yisrael, rather than having heard it back when he was in Babel himself. Anyway, so the Gemara summarizes the bottom line: the ain halacha k'rib Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is not like k'rib Shimon Gamliel. That lecha does not close up, is not considered to close up the hole, and therefore the animal is treif. But the halacha k'rib Shimon Be'evil. But on the other hand, when it comes to the oval, the halacha is like k'rib Shimon Gamliel. That as long as the relatives come before the end of Shiva, then they join in the Shiva at that point, and they don't start their own count. Because, as we said a few times, the Amar Shmuel halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'evil. Because Shmuel said a general rule that the halacha is like the more lenient opinion as far as Avelos, and here Rav Shimon is the more lenient opinion. He's saying that the guy doesn't have that this new relative doesn't have to sit full 7 days by himself. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to go through a few different dinim where Avelos for parents is different than it is for other relatives. So the Gemara says, I'll call on Mason Kolon, when it comes to most of a person's relatives who passed away, madcha mitosa hareza meshubah. So the faster he makes, the faster he arranges the levaya, the better it is. You know, the more praiseworthy he is, that he's taking care of the kavod ames as soon as possible. Al aviv al ima hareza meguna. On the other hand, for his parents, then it's a bad thing because he should be not delaying, but he should be, the levaya should take longer so that there's more time for his stadium in honor of his parents. So therefore, if he's just saying, let's hurry up, let's get the levaya over with, then for other people, that's good, but for his father and his mother, then it's not so much. On the other hand, Hoya Erev Shabbos or Erev Yomtiv, suppose that it was Erev Shabbos or Erev Yomtiv, and they have to get the burial finished in time, or Hagos Abach also adds, and you find this also in there's one of the Maseftes Ketanis, is called Maseftes Smochos, which deals with Dinim of Avelos. Throughout this parak, often, when the Gemara is bringing Brises, very often it's from Maseftes Smochos. Anyway, so it adds over there a line also, which Hagos Abach also mentioned. Osho Yubshamim is Zalfen Amitosoi, or if there was rain falling on the Mitta. So in other words, it's a rainy day. And the longer they keep, the longer the levaya is going, the wetter the mitzvah is getting. Then hareza meshubach. Then even with his father or his mother, if he's hurrying up the levaya, then it's good. She'ena osa el lechavod avivim, because then he is doing it for their kavod. Because on the one hand, you want more time for a spadim. On the other hand, you also want to make sure they get buried before Shabbos, and you also want to make sure that the coffin and the mitzvah, whatever, is not getting drenched. So then it would be good to hurry things up, even if it's one's parents. Another din, I'll call on Mason Kolon, when it comes to most of a person's relatives, Rotem Mayek the Iskoi, if he wants, he can reduce his Asek. So Asek means business. So what that means is, so Rashi explains, could go in Schora. So if he wants to reduce the amount of business that he does during the Shiva, then he can do that. Rotza Einim Emayek. But if he wants, he doesn't have to. He can continue his business like normal. Now, how could a person do that? How can a person be doing business during Shiva? Didn't we learn already in our Perek that an Oval is also the Malacha? So in fact, one answer is that there's a difference between Malacha and business. Malacha he's not allowed to do, but business, buying and selling, is not Malacha. On the other hand, there are a couple of other explanations that Rishonim give. Tosfos later on in the Perek then explains that we're talking about over here, where it's Dover Ha'avod, where it's, Rashi actually explains also later on in the Perek, that we're talking about where it's Dover Ha'avod. So we don't mean, in other words, that the person can keep his store open normally during Chol Hamoed and continue doing business. We're talking about, let's say, there's a Dover Ha'avod, there's something, for example, where if he doesn't sell it soon, he's going to have a loss. So then, with his other relatives, he's allowed to go and sell it even during the time of his Avelos, but not that otherwise he'd be able to do regular business. Rabbeinu Chananel brings a different explanation of Rots Mamayat Iskoy, and Ein Mamayat Iskoy means Iskoy doesn't mean his business at all. It means, in other words, the expenses for the Tachrichim and the Hesped. So for other relatives, if a person wants to skimp on those expenses, then fine. Although the imam imayit for his parents though he would have to be imayit. So again, either it means he has to close his business when his parents pass away, or specifically according to Tosfos he can't do even davar ha'avod. And according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it would mean that he has to actually increase. He has to spend more on the tachrichim and on the hesved because of his parents for their cover. Another din, al kol ha-meisim kulan, rotza choylet, rotza ene choylet. For all other meisim, if a person wants, he can be choylet, and if not, then not. Al ovev, al imay choylet, but for his parents, he does have to be choylet. Choylet, Rashi explains, means that he uncovers his shoulder. There are Rishonim who explain specifically what it is. We're going to talk about further down on the Omud, we're going to talk about some of the dinim of Kriya. So what happens is, after the person does Kriya, he sticks his arm out through the tear that he made in his garment, and then wears the garment that way off one shoulder. So now his shoulder is bare. So we're saying, for other Mason, he can do that if he wants. He's not required to. But for his father or his mother, he would be required to. Nowadays, most people don't do chalitza. There is a minhag among some Sardim to do it, but in general, in most of the rest of the Jewish world, we don't. And the reason is, similar to some other things that we said before, we talked about kfiyas amita and atifas arosh, there's a few things that the Gemara is telling us that an oval has to do, which nowadays we don't do, because it's going to look very ridiculous in the eyes of the goyim. In this case, a person's going to walk around with his arms sticking out of a tear in his clothing and his shoulder bared. It's going to look very ridiculous. It's going to look very ridiculous in the eyes of the goyim, and therefore the minhag developed not to do it anymore. Another point that Rishonim say is also that the way we wear our clothes is not the way they wore them in the times of the Gemara. The typical clothing in the times of the Gemara was draped around your body, so therefore you could have a tear in it and then you stick your arm through it, etc. Our clothes have sleeves, shirts and jackets and whatever, and therefore a chalitza of that kind wouldn't really work anyway. Okay, so the Gemara continues. It happened once with one great Talmud Chacham of his generation, Shemes Aviv. His father passed away. Uvikish Lachlois. So he wanted to do chalitza. He wanted to bare his shoulder, like we just said. Uvikish Gadol Hadar Achar Sheimoy Lachlois. Another Gadol Hadar, another great Talmud Chacham who was with him, also wanted to do that. V'nimna V'lo Cholas, but he held back and didn't end up doing it. So who are these two Gadolei Hadar? So now Tosfos points out, isn't that a contradiction? We just said that for your father you have to be choilet, and now we're saying that he didn't. So the answer is, Tosfos says, okay, because it was the cupboard, because of the cupboard of the other Gadol Hador who was with him. So that would kind of override the rule of chalitza. Which is another reason why for us not to do chalitza nowadays, because again, since we're saying that you consider the kavod of the abelim in that regard, so again, you know, when it gets to the point that the goyim are just making fun of it, then there's no kavod anymore. Marsha points out actually that there's a Tosfos over here that mentions that point that he didn't do it because of the cover of the Gadol Hador with him. Marsha points out that actually it seems that there are kind of two answers in Tosfos blended together over here. What it was actually supposed to say was something like, he doesn't give the actual detail of. So Nimna Vlaichot Omar, the Gemara continues and says that because there was a Gadol Hador with him. And then also from Masechta Smachos, it says something about him Einan Ru'uyim Lachlois, if they're not the kind of people who it would be within their dignity to be cholitz, then they don't do it even for their parents. So then you have a mice of a Gadol Hador. So we're saying over here that one Gadol Hador's father passed away, and there was another Gadol Hador with him who did not. The Nimna V'loi Cholatz, and he held back and did not uncover his shoulder. So who are these two people? Amar Abaya, Gadol Hador Rebbe, Gadol Hador She'imo Rav Yaakov Ba'acha. The first Gadol Hador, whose father passed away, was Rebbe. So it's his father, Rav Shimon Gamliel, who passed away. And the other Gadol Hador, who was with him, because of whom Rebbe did not do it, was Rav Yaakov Ba'acha. the Ikadami, or others say the other way around, Godel Adur of Yaakov Acha, the Godel Adur whose father passed away was of Yaakov Acha, Godel Adur Sheima Rebbe, and according to that, the colleague of his who was with him was Rebbe, and therefore out of honor for Rebbe, Rebbe Yaakov Acha did not uncover his soul. That's what Gemara says, Bishleim Lamander Amma Godel Adur Sheima Rebbe. I can understand, according to the opinion, that according to the second version, that the Godel Adur Sheimoi was Rebbe, so the Ovel himself is Rebbe Yaakov Acha, and he normally would have uncovered his shoulder in Avelos for his father, but because Rebbe was with him, Hainu Dinim Nevelai Cholot, then we understand it would have been a bizoyan to Rebbe, that in the presence of Rebbe, the Nasi, he's going to be uncovering his shoulder, and therefore he didn't. Elo Lamander Amma Rebbe, but according to the first version, that the Ovel was Rebbe, that his father passed away, the other way around. Bishleim l'mander amar Godel Adur Sheima Rebbe Hainu Nimna V'Lachol. El l'mander amar Rav Yaakov Ba'acha. But if you say that the Imoi, the one who was with him was Rav Yaakov Ba'acha, so the Ovel was Rebbe, and then we're saying Rav Yaakov Ba'acha was there, Amay Nimna V'Lachol. So why did he not do Chalitza? Rav Shimon Gamliel Nasi Hava. After all, Rebbe's father, Rav Shimon Gamliel, was a Nasi, v'kula amo mechayvi l'mechlas. And as a matter of fact, when the Nasi passed away, everybody has to do Chalitza out of respect for the Nasi, as we're going to talk about later on. So according to that version, Rebbe himself would have had to do Chalitza because it's his father, and Rav Yaakov Ba'acha would have had to do Chalitza because of the Nasi. So according to that version, why did neither of them do it? And the Gemara says Kasha. Okay, according to that version, it's a Kasha. It's not, as usual, a kasha does not mean it's yukta. It doesn't mean we've slugged up that version. And there is. There's a short sefer called Koshes Miyushav, written by Rabbi Yeshaya Pick Berlin, who was a great Talmud Chacham in the times of the Noda Yehuda, there's a chaver of the Noda Yehuda about 250 years ago. He wrote, anytime when we have in the Surah Sashas, anytime when we have something in brackets, then it's from him. And he also added, Hagos to Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah and to various other things. It was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. Anyway, he wrote a short sefer called Koshes Miyoshev, where he goes through all the places in Shas where you have something that ends in Kasha and finds how the Gemara could have answered it. And over here he says, given that we're saying that there are times like Tosfos had said, like the Gemara itself is saying, that out of respect for somebody else over there, you don't do Chalitza. So that means even for a person's own father, you sometimes don't do Chalitza. How much more so where it's for the Nasi? So that would be a valid reason, according to that, for Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha to not have done Chalitza out of the covered for Rebbe who's there. More dinim about the difference between avelus for parents and avelus for other relatives. I'll call a mason pull on the stop when it comes to any other relative who passed away, you can't cut your hair for 30 days. But for a person's father and mother, he has to go beyond that. He has to keep growing his hair until his friends yell at him and tell him you look very unkempt. And then at that point, he's allowed to cut his hair. Tosfos points out that unlike we said that Shiva and Shloshim are canceled by Yom Tov, here this Ad Sheyigdal Rabbi Chaverav is not. Even when Yom Tov comes, if it's before Yigdal Rabbi Chaverav, he still doesn't have a hechter to cut his hair. Now, what is that amount of time? What is that time of Yigdal Rabbi Chaverav? So Rishonim explain that the general thing of it is 3 months. So in other words, the way it works in halacha is something like this. During the first month, it doesn't matter how unkempt he's looking and how many people are telling him off about it, he still can't cut his hair. During the second or third month, if already they're telling him you look very unkempt, and let's say, for example, you can easily imagine that, let's say, he hadn't taken a haircut for a month or two before the death, and now it's only a month and a half or 2 months later, and he's looking very shaggy. So at that point, once his friends tell him, you're looking very unkempt, then he'd be allowed to take a haircut, but if not, then not. Once we reach the 3 month mark, even if nobody tells him, the post can say he's already allowed to take a haircut at that point, because we would assume that his friends would tell him. So maybe they're not telling him for whatever reason, but nevertheless, 3 months already, he's allowed to take a haircut. Another din. I'll call a mason kula nichnas the veis ha simcha la'acha lamed yoyim. when any of a person's other relatives passed away, then after 30 days, he's allowed to go to a simcha. He's allowed to do that after 30 days. But when it says parents that passed away, then he's only allowed to go after 12 months. After the full 12 months of Avelo Sarah. So Omer, Rav Abba Chana, all the simchas mereis. So Rav Abba Chana says the kind of party that we're talking about where he's allowed to go after 3 days for other Avelim is talking about the kind of party that people just make that people just make because they're friends and they want to get together. So it's not really a simcha per se, but in other words, the implication would be, let's say, for example, a simcha, a wedding, then Rav Abba Chana is saying that no, even for other relatives, after 30 days, he wouldn't be able to go. Because that's a greater simcha. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya l'simcha shloshim l'mereyot shloshim. What do you mean? I skipped a couple of lines. So the simcha shmereyot. The Gemara says, Meisvi, or the simcha l'mereyot lamed yoyim. We have a braisa that says that whether it's as far as a simcha, like a wedding, or whether it's mereyot, just a party where friends are getting together, lamed yoyim. So either way, 30 days is the limit for other relatives, and after that, he's allowed to go. The Gemara says, kasha. So it's left as a kasha. Now here we're not so worried about the kasha because we have a second version which is going to be what the halacha is like anyway. And usually in the Gemara when you have two different lashonis of a statement, usually the halacha is like the second lashon. So Ameima Masni Hafi, Ameima learned the statement as follows: Amar Rav Abba Chana, Ula Simchas Mereyos Mutali Konis La'Alter. That actually, when it comes to Avelus for other relatives, for a Simchas Mereyos for a party that's not for a simcha, just for friends getting together, an oval for other relatives will be allowed to go to that even right away, right after Shiva. So the Gemara says, V'atanya l'simcha shloshim v'lemereyos shloshim. Don't we have a braisa that says that for both a simcha and for a party with friends, either way it's 30 days? And the answer is, like kasha, hoba arisusa, hoba kuranusa. It depends whether we're talking about the initial party in the cycle that's called arisusa, versus Puranusa. Usually Puranus means punishment, but that's not what it means over here. The word Puranus literally means payback. So here, versus where there's a payback one. In other words, the way it would work is you'd have, let's say, one friend of the group makes a party and invites everybody else, and then afterwards he's actually lending them money toward their expenses for their parties, and the deal is later on they're going to make a party, they're going to use that money that he lent them. And they're going to make their own parties and invite him. So you're going to have a whole cycle of parties. So when it's the first one in the cycle, then we're saying that then he has to wait 30 days before he makes such a party, even for other relatives. He has to wait till after Shloshim. But when it's Puranusa, when it's one of them, one of the members of the group previously made a party, and now he's just reciprocating, so then he's allowed to do that right after Shiva. Because after all, he has to pay back. That's part of the deal that he's going to make his party with the money that they lent him and invite them. And therefore, he has to do that. And therefore, we allow him to do it as soon as possible after Shiva. So now it comes out over here that after parents, you have that after a parent's passing, you have full 12 months before you're allowed to go to a simcha. Now, what kind of simcha are we talking about? Tosfos brings over here that, for example, that maybe that such a person after Shloshim within the 12 months for a parent would be allowed to go to a Sudas Bris Mila. Maybe that's not considered such a simcha compared to a wedding. On the other hand, Tosfos then brings that maybe not. It's not so posh. A simchas mireus, there's no simcha at all. A bris, there is after all a certain degree of simcha. Tosfos mentions in this connection about the possibility of eating together with the waiters. In other words, you have waiters who are serving by the party. Maybe the oval would be allowed to go there and eat together with them or to help them serve, and then that way he's there for a purpose rather than just to be a guest by the simcha. So the actual halachas in that are a little bit complicated. You have cases a person makes a bar mitzvah, a wedding, a bris or whatever. So you have distinctions in halacha, for example, whether the simcha is happening in his own house or elsewhere, where if it's in his own house, there's more leeway for him to go. And where it's elsewhere, then sometimes we say that, you're only allowed to be there for parts of it, especially maybe you're not supposed to be there for the parts with the music, or maybe you're supposed to actually, in that case, let's say a person is making a bar mitzvah for their son or whatever, or then maybe what they would have to do is actually help serve the food, and that way, in effect, they're not there as the father of the bar mitzvah boy. They're there as one of the waiters. So there are various dinim in that regard that are a little bit, the ins and outs of them are a little bit complicated. All right, moving along, the Gemara says, another distinction between other mesim and parents. I'll call a mesim kulan kareya tefach. For any other mess that a person's relatives, he has to rip his clothes a length of a tefach. Al oviv al imay, but for his father or his mother, that's not enough. He has to tear more ad shi gavas libay, until he uncovers his heart, his chest. Rabbi Bahu says, where do we see from a pasuk that the minimum kriya is a tefach long? The pasuk says, when David received the news that Shaul and his sons had been killed in battle against the Plishtim, the pasuk says, David held on to his clothes and tore them. And by Yasik means he held on to them with his hands. The holding on implies at least a tefach, because the size of a person's hand is a tefach. So therefore, that implies that he tore at least the length of a grasp of a hand, which is a tefach. Now, that wasn't his parents who passed away. That was Shaul, his father-in-law, and Yonasan, his brothers, who were his brothers-in-law. And in addition, the Gemara is going to point out later on in the parak, there was also that the Nasi and the Avestin and many of the Jewish people had been killed, etc. But the point is, in other words, that so he tore Kriya, but it had to be a tefach. Another din, I'll call a mason kulon when it comes to most other mason, I feel a lovush asara halukin. Even if a person is wearing 10 shirts, one on top of the other, ainit kireya ela elyon, he only has to rip the top one. Al oviv al imay, but when it comes to his father or his mother, kireyas kulon, then he would have to tear all of them. The afi korsusay ainit ma'akebis. The afi korsusay is not ma'akeb. What is afi korsusay? There's several explanations. Rashi says that it means a scarf or a turban that he wears around his head. It's not ma'akeb in the sense that he doesn't have to tear it. A number of Rishonim bring an explanation that what it means is this kind of turban that people would wear would typically the ends of it would hang down in front of him over the front of his clothing. So therefore, what are you going to have? You tear kriya, but then you have this afika rususai hanging over it and covering it over. Nevertheless, that's not a problem. You don't have to remove the afika rususai or move it out of the way. You're allowed to just, so that this is, and Muka Yosef on the Rif gives this explanation. That means, in other words, even though the afika rususai, is covering it, nevertheless, that's fine because you did actually tear kriya. The Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam holds that afikorsusai means an undershirt. So a person doesn't have to tear his undershirt. It's only there in order to absorb sweat. So therefore, that's not considered a chosh of a piece of clothing that he has to tear. And there's another explanation that Rishonim say that afikorsusai would mean like an outer jacket, like a winter coat or something. So the halacha is basically like all of these things. So when a person tears kriya nowadays, they tear their shirt, they tear their jacket, but they don't tear, for example, their winter coat or their undershirt. Continues the Braisa. Echad ish ve'echad isha, this that a person tears kriya is true both of a man or of a woman. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, not so simple. Ha isha kairas atachton, when a woman tears kriya, and if it's her parent who passed away, and we said you have to tear all the layers of the clothing, so she first tears the inner layer, so not the undershirt, like the Rambam said, but fine, the first inner layer of clothing, then she turns that torn side to her back, and then she goes and tears the upper garment. Because otherwise, what's going to happen is her skin or her underwear is going to be visible underneath it, and it wouldn't be tnistic. So she does that. An interesting point is Reb Shimon ben Elazar disagreeing with the Tanakhama or not? So one way of understanding it is that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is not disagreeing. He's just saying that the Tanakhama would also agree that a woman does that, but he didn't mention that, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar comes and mentions that. In that case, the halacha, in that case, that might be a reason to say the halacha is like him. Plus, also, we might say, again, halacha could be around Mekel be'Evel. Although Tosfos says, maybe not, because Evel and Kriya are two different things. The halacha is not necessarily like an opinion that's more lenient when it comes to Kriya. But if we say that Rav Shimon Elazar is not arguing with the Tanakhama, okay, then the halacha is like him, because the Tanakhama is not arguing. On the other hand, maybe Rav Shimon Elazar is arguing with the Tanakhama, and therefore maybe the halacha would not be like him. So there are different opinions among the Rishonim about that detail. Okay. Another din, al kolan mesim kolan, when it comes to other mesim, rotza mavdil kame sofa shaloi. So if he wants, when he does kriya, he can divide kame sofa, rotza, and we'll explain in a second what kame sofa is, rotza enim mavdil, and if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Al ovev al imay mavdil, for his father or his mother, he davka has to divide kame sofa. Now what is kame sofa? Here you have Rashi over here versus Rashi Ksavyad. Rashi here is printed in front of us on the Gemara, says that Kame Safa means the edging, the stitching or whatever around the collar. In other words, what you would have to do is, so with other relatives, we're saying a person would have a choice. He could rip through that stitching and then continue the Kriya down from there, or he could not and just tear in the middle of the clothing. For a parent, we're saying he would dafka have to do it in the middle, because otherwise, if you do it only on the end, then it doesn't look like a rip necessarily, it just looks like part of the collar. Rashi on the Rif, which is Rashi Ksavyad, says exactly the other way around. Kame Safa means the actual edge of the garment itself. So with other mesim, the person could tear in the middle, but by the parents, he dafka has to tear from the edge so that the two torn edges are clearly visible as separate. Whereas when there's a tear in the middle of the garment, it might not be so noticeable. The halacha is like that Rashi Ksavyad, and therefore we have that kriya for a parent has to be dafka from the edge, from the neckline of the garment, or from the lapel of the garment, and going down from there. For other mason, we're saying that's not strictly necessary, although in practice, they usually do that anyway. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, every kriya has to be that way. Kol kriya she'enim mavdil kamei sofa shaloi, any kriya where you don't tear kamei sofa. So again, according to Rashi on the Gemara over here, it means that he rips through beginning from the edge, and according to Rashi Ksavyad, it means on the contrary, where he doesn't rip through the edge. Eina ela kerashal tiflos, then that's only a ripping of tiflos, of silliness. In other words, he's not yotze the mitzvah of kriya with that. So Amar Rav Abahu, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? That you always have to tear kame sofa. Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk that describes when Eliyahu went up to Shemayim. So Elisha saw it, and the pasuk says by Yachzik Yodav, he grabbed a hold of his clothing, by Yikroim, the Shnayim Kroim, and he tore them into two rents, into two pieces. So why does that have to say? Mashma Shnema by Yikroim. If he ripped them, any Adesha in the Shnayim, obviously he ripped something, you rip it in two. Elosh Nirin Kruin Kishnayim means it has to be visible that it's torn into two, and that you do by tearing Kame Sofa. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you must always tear Kame Sofa, which is what a person does nowadays. All Kriyas are done, so that's what it is. All Kriyas are done from the neckline of the garment and going down from there. So that way it's clearly visible that it's ripped. It doesn't just look like a random rip in the middle of the garment. Okay, another din. Al kolam mesim kolam shol la'acha shivo ma'acha la'acha shloshim. When it comes to other mesim, so that he wears the torn clothing throughout Shiva, the torn shirt or jacket or whatever it is throughout Shiva, then afterwards he can baste it after Shiva. Basting means like you sew it together, you sew it together with loose stitches. So you don't sew it all the way, you don't sew it permanently, but you sew it together with loose stitches. So you can do that la'acha shiva, u'ma'acha la'acha shloshim, and you're allowed to completely sew it up properly, a full repair, after shloshim, al-ovev, al-ima, shodan la'acha lamed, ve'enim ma'acha lo'elam. For father or mother, you can only baste it after 30 days, and you can never be ma'acha, you can never sew it back up completely. On the other hand, ro'isha, shelalter, la'alter, v'pnei kvoida, but a woman is allowed to be shul right away because of her covered, so she's not walking around with torn clothes that then are going to expose parts of her body. Okay, another din. Ki also Raven Amar Rav Yechon. I'll call a mason rotsa kereya biyad rotsa kereya bikli. With all of the mason, if a person wants, he can do kriya by hand. But if he wants, he can use a keli. He can use a knife, for example. I'll amar valim a biyad. For father or mother, he has to adapt to use his hand. Nowadays, what we do is it's not that easy to tear clothing. Therefore, what we do nowadays is usually the Chevra Kadisha will start making a little rip using a knife, and using a little cut using a knife, and then you'll continue, and then you continue and do the rest of the ripping yourself. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shukar, everyone.